challenge you more than anything this morning, but I want to speak to you on the subject of, oh, what a morning. Oh, what a morning. Our Bibles are filled with passages about the morning. For example, we are told our Savior prayed early in the morning. Another example is Joshua in the Old Testament is pictured as a leader who rose up early in the morning. I think of the morning in Genesis 22, where Abraham rose up early and took Isaac on Mount Moriah to sacrifice him. It was quite a morning for Jacob, who awakened from sleep in the morning to set up a pillar of stones in honor of God at Bethel. What a morning it must have been for Daniel when he saw that the early morning rays of sunlight in the city of Babylon after spending a night in the lion's den. I can well imagine that the morning was beautiful to the eyes of the disciples after they spent a terrible night in a storm on the Sea of Galilee. These and many more mornings in the Bible are great and exciting mornings, but none of them are near as wonderful. None of them are near as exciting. None of them are near as joyous as a morning that we're going to talk about this morning in this passage. This is a morning that would change all of eternity. Had this morning not happened the way it did, we would all be hopelessly lost on our way to an eternity called hell. I thank God for this particular morning that I'm going to go ahead and talk about. I want to spend some time talking about that glorious morning, that morning that Jesus conquered death and hell and the grave forever. There's never been a morning like it, and there never will be another morning ever like it in going forward. What a glorious morning it was that Jesus rose again. What a morning it was when he pulled the stinger from death and gave eternal life to all who will place their faith in him. What a morning it is. So join me as I talk about this morning. We're going to just briefly go through some few points about this morning. Number one, it was a morning, excuse me, and I might be doing that a lot today, okay? But it was a morning of solemn reflections. As the morning began to break on this first day of the week after Jesus died, the scripture says some women wanted to come and pay their respects and finish anointing the body of Jesus for his burial. The anointing process began by Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea before on the day our Lord died, as indicated in John chapter 19. But while these ladies were heading to the tomb, our Lord's disciples were locked up in the upper room in fear that the same death that the Savior was going through was going to come to them. Also, you can read about that in John chapter 20. The emotions were very high for the people that were closest to Jesus. These women certainly were sad. These women certainly were emotional. Certainly the disciples were scared for their life, and they were upset. They were hurt. You ask why? Well, they all believed that Jesus was to be the Messiah. They didn't expect, even though Jesus had said this is what's going to happen, but they didn't quite grasp that message. They all believed that he was going to be the Messiah. They placed their faith and trust in him, the one that expected him to set up his kingdom. Even though they told him of the cross, even though they told them of the resurrection, they never fully grasped that message. Now, to the disciples, now to these women, now to all those that were closest to Jesus, those that Jesus touched very much so, now he's dead. To them, right now, at this moment, he's gone. Right now, at this point, and teenagers, help me out, I'm glad you're up here, but I won't have a problem saying a name or two if I need to, okay? It's preaching time, and I'm glad that you're here, and so just help me out, and thank you, workers, for helping me out as well. But now he's dead. By the way, if you get me off message, I'll have to start all over again, okay? So I'll forget where I'm at, okay? So don't do that, all right? But now he's dead. Now what? You know, the very, very people that Jesus touched the most, their faith had been perhaps a bit shaken. The one they had put all their hopes in is now gone. At this moment, they think he's gone and he's dead. This man whom they grew to love and who had changed their lives in a big way by his power and had demonstrated that love and power of God died a violent and humiliating death. Surely it was a sad day for them. They'd seen the miracles. They'd seen his compassion. They'd experienced his mercy. They'd seen his healing. And now I'm sure that all hope seemed to be gone. As I think about the sadness of the disciples, I understand their grief. The disciples were perhaps the closest people to Christ, and how they so loved Christ. By the way, how Christ so loved them as well. Paul talks about this grief a bit in First Corinthians. Let me just read a couple more verses here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I'll read verse number 12. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is almost vain? Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. You see, Paul, he tells us that if Jesus were dead this morning, we'd all have a reason to grieve. Truth of the matter is, and I'm sorry I didn't put this on this morning, but I'll just take one of these, okay? I got the red one. All right? And the truth of the matter is, we'd all have a reason to grieve. As I mentioned a moment ago, there'd be no sense of me sweating like a hog, if you will. That's what they say. They call it sweating like a pig right now. There'd be no sense of me preaching right now. There'd be no sense in you getting up this morning and getting ready. And you ladies look attractive this morning, your gowns, and you guys look attractive. Well, I saw our bus kids came in. There were a lot of them all dressed up. Armani, man, and Xavier, man, they were just looking sharp this morning. The little girls all decked out. It was just wonderful. But there'd been no need of that. There'd been no need to go ahead and sing Amazing Grace and been no need of hearing the teenagers sing. There'd been no need to hear Deb sing just a few moments ago. There'd been no need to go ahead and read our Bibles this morning. You know, we'd all have a reason to grieve. There'd be no reason. This would be just another book, by the way, had he not raised from the dead. We'd all be headed for hell. No one would have hope beyond this life. And this life here would be miserable had he not risen as he promised. So I can understand the solemn. I get the disturbing. I can understand the feeling of sadness and unsurety that they had. It certainly was a morning of solemn reflections. But it was also a morning of startling revelations. In the midst of their sorrow, we see that God the Father had been busy behind the scenes. You see, God went to great lengths to minister to the needs of their hearts. I thank God that I serve a God that knows how I'm feeling today. I thank God that when I'm in the lowest valley of my life, you know what? He knows right where I am, and he is there with me. For thou art with me, the Bible says. I thank God that when I'm on the mountaintop, he is there. I thank God that he cares about my needs, and you ought to thank God that he cares about your needs too. You know, God's not dead this morning, amen? He is alive. God knows exactly how you're feeling. God knows just exactly how much is in your checkbook. God knows exactly how well your car is driving. God knows exactly about what's going on in the economy in our world today. Hey, everything's in control. Why? Because God is alive. And he's well, and he knows what's going on. Amen. But I thank God he cares for our troubles. I thank God he does not leave us comfortless, as the Bible says. He will come to you through his Holy Spirit. He doesn't tell us to try to go ahead and figure it all out. No, he's right there to help us figure it out. I thank God that he's there every day, every hour, and what a God we serve. He cares about what you're going through. He cares about that heavy burden that you're carrying this morning, my friend. He cares about where you are. But I also think, as he was busy ministering to so many other people's needs, I think of, man, even what God the Father was going through. You know, yeah, Jesus, the Son of God, boy, what a price, the ultimate price he paid. But God the Father, think of for a moment what it must have been like seeing or sending his Son to leave heaven and come to earth to be born in a manger. Think of what it must have been to see his only son go through the pains of a cross. Yes, he knew he would see his son again. Yes, he knew that he would rise again. But any father would cringe at the fact that their son would die on a cross. But yeah, he didn't just focus on that. He focused on ministering the needs of others as well. He moved in several ways that day. He encouraged many hearts that day. A few things that he did that particular day. He rolled the tomb away, the stone away from the tomb. Not to let Jesus escape, but allows us
the opportunity, allows man the opportunity to go ahead and look in. It allows us to understand that Jesus claims to be all that he claimed to be. He also sent an angelic messenger with the news, the good news that Jesus was alive from the dead. Never has the world heard a message like that, and it still reverberates through the halls of time. It is still the greatest message today that he lives within my heart. He arose a victor from the dark domain. He had a word of encouragement for Peter, who had denied him. You remember when Peter said, I won't deny you, but he went ahead and denied Jesus three times. But he goes ahead and tells them to go your way and tell his disciples and Peter, the one that denied him just before he went to the cross, and Peter, that he goeth before you into Galilee, that ye shall see him as he said unto you. He met Mary Magdalene outside the tomb. Again, God was busy ministering to the hearts of many different people that was closest to Jesus. You know, he left a message for his followers inside the tomb. You know, there's a Oriental custom about that folded napkin that you would see inside that tomb. When a man with his servants was eating a meal, he would use his napkin to signal them during the course of the meal. If he left the table and wadded up the napkin, it meant that he was finished and that he would not be back. If, however, he neatly folded the napkin, it told his servants that he was stepping away for a moment and he would be back. Jesus is telling his disciples by that folded napkin, I'm only gone for a little while. I will be right back. And let me just stop and say this. You know what? Jesus is coming soon. You know, he's just gone for a little while. Yes, he died. He was buried. And we don't serve him on a dead cross. You know, he arose a victor from the dark domain. And let me tell you something. One of these days, he's coming back. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I'd have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will also come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. That's a promise by God Almighty. You know what? He's coming back. Let me ask you a question, my friend. Are you ready? Boy, I thank God for proof that he's alive. Oh, we'd have no hope. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living no matter what men say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, he lives. Salvation to empower. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Amen. You know, I have proof this morning. I'm proof that he lives because he's living inside my heart. Let me ask you a question. Is there proof of him living in your heart today? Do you know Jesus as Savior? Does he live in your heart? It was a morning of solemn reflections. It was a morning of startling revelations. It was a morning of stunning realizations. Let me just read a few verses here in our passage in verse number 36. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do you do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they had yet believed, not for joy, and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. It was a morning of stunning realizations. The disciples were hiding in the upper room out of fear, but something miraculously happened, something they had not expected. Jesus, who died just 3 days before, showed up. They were scared. They thought they saw a ghost. They were fearful. But Jesus was there with a message for them. He showed them the nail prints in his hands. Hey, guys, I'm here. He showed them the nail prints in his feet to prove that it was indeed the Son of God. He offered them to touch him and then sat down to eat with them. You see, most of the disciples did not believe until this moment that Jesus is alive. Can you just imagine how they felt, the excitement and the joy that they felt when they realized that Jesus is alive? Hey, let me just stop and say this again. Jesus is alive this morning. Hey, you ought to get excited about that. Yeah, these disciples, for a moment ago, they were fearful. They were scared. scared. They were distraught. But when Jesus showed up, they realized, hey, he's alive. Let me just stop and say this. He's alive today. You ought to be excited about the fact that he's alive. You don't need to be fearful this morning because he is alive. You don't need to be scared this morning because he's alive. You don't need to be unsure this morning because he's alive. You don't need to be insecure this morning. Why? Because he is alive. You don't have to be here this morning not knowing for sure that you're not on your way to heaven. You know, that's why he died, so that you could have eternal life. We'll get to that in just a moment. But you know, this message we just talked about here, this is what needs to happen in our world today. Men need to realize that Jesus is more than just a baby in a manger bed. Our world needs to realize that Jesus is more than just one that got crucified on a cross. Men need to realize that he's more than just a story in an old book. People need to understand that, yes, he's alive. Men need to understand that he is real, and the only hope for missing an eternity in hell is trusting Jesus Christ so that you can have an eternity in heaven. We need to understand it's not by our works, but by our faith in him. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast, the Bible says. It's not by your church attendance, though that is important for your Christian growth. But, you know, it's not by your church attendance that's going to get you to heaven. It's not going to be by a Lord's Supper that's going to go ahead and get you to heaven. It's not going to be by a baptism that's going to go ahead and get you to heaven. It's not a priest. It's not a pope. It's not a Catholic. It's not a Buddhist. It's not a Muslim. It's not a good word or a deed. It's not a religion. It's a relationship with our Savior, Jesus Christ, that'll go ahead and get you to heaven. He's the only way. He's the only truth, and he's the only life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know what? You know what? If I died without Jesus Christ in my heart, then hell is my eternal destiny. Doesn't matter how many times I went to church. Doesn't matter how many times I may have even cracked open a Bible. Doesn't matter how many times I may have even participated in the Lord's Supper. Doesn't matter how many times I may have even heard the gospel. But you know what? You got to let it go ahead and not just be here. It's got to come to here. So many people, unfortunately, maybe even some Baptists, they've got the head knowledge of Jesus, but they really don't have the heart knowledge. I think someone said that there's some that hear a message like this Sunday after Sunday, but they're 6 inches or so away from ever going to eternity in heaven, because it all stayed right here. And it never got to the heart. Let me tell you something. You're here today based on what you can do, based on your ability and your talent. And my friend, in all due respect, you're going to split hell wide open. You need to trust Christ. You need to trust him and only him. You know, you can know that you're saved. The Bible says that we can know, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. You need to understand that you're a sinner. I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, and we need to understand that there is a price on sin. That price is hell. It's a place of fire and brimstone. It's a place that was created only for the devil and his angels. But you know what? Because of those who reject God, you know, there's going to be many in hell because of those that did reject God. You know, in death and hell, we're cast in the lake of fire. For the wages of sin is death. But Jesus, he paid that price. That's what we're talking about a little bit this morning. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. My friend, if you're here today, you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, but you ought to settle that this morning. You can open your heart to him, and you can ask for forgiveness, and you can ask him to come into your heart, and he will save you. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. My question, who is Jesus to you? Yes, you know, I've talked to you unsaved, but maybe there's someone under the sound of my voice, you don't know Jesus as Savior. But Christian, who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to you? Is he part of your everyday life? Boy, it's sad to go ahead and put the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who belongs here, down here. Sad that we would let our flesh go ahead and dominate our life and not the Holy Spirit of God that wants to control and ought to have control of your life. But it's sad that we allow the flesh and the devil to have control of our life. And we're saved, we're on our way to heaven, but that's just about as far as it goes. We might worship him once a year. Might go to church here or there. Might do whatever. But the truth of the matter is, let me ask you a question. Who is Jesus to you? I say, friend, who's Jesus to you? Are you saved? Christian friend, who's Jesus to you? You know, he's been so faithful to you, Jesus Christ. Why couldn't we be? We'll never measure up this side of heaven. We'll never be able to pay back all that he's given us. But why aren't we striving to be as faithful to him as we possibly can? You'll never go wrong. You'll never go wrong giving your best to Jesus Christ. It was a morning of solemn reflections. It was a morning of startling revelations. It was a morning of stunning realizations. It was also a morning of spiritual repercussions. As they ate that first resurrection morning, Jesus told his disciples that it was his Father's plan to save the world. They'd been called by God to witness and spread the good news of the gospel. In other words, they were to go ahead and be soul winners. They were to go ahead and tell people about Jesus. By the way, that's our job today. The same job that he was, the same issue that he was called, that he was issuing to the disciples that day, is the very same job that he's issuing to us Christians today. We have a job to do. There's a world dying, going to hell. We have the truth here, amen? We have the truth of the Word of God. We have tracts. We can grab tracts in our hands. We can go out soul winning during the soul winning times. We can get out canvassing in this area like we're doing and so forth. But you know, we all have a job to do. You know, God has commanded us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know, we must go ahead and fulfill that job. We must not shirk it. He's called us to go ahead and do that. But something else happened. When Jesus arose, the old enemies that plagued man since sin entered the world was forever settled. To name a few, death was conquered that day. Child of God may die physically, but our soul has been saved and we're going to live forever in heaven. Hell was conquered for all of mankind. We do not have to go there. When one trusts Christ as Savior, hell was conquered forever for the child of God. The grave was conquered. Sin was conquered. Satan was defeated. Yeah, I can see old Satan, you know, he had his good old boy club around him, and he thought he had him. I can see him sitting back when Christ was put to death on the cross, and I can see him saying, I'm winning, I have won this fight. And when Jesus cried, it is finished, Satan heard the foundations of the world crack, and 3 days later, when Christ rose, Satan began to witness the total destruction of his plan and his scheme. He thought he had won, but guess what, Satan? You lose. My friend, do you understand it this morning? It was quite a morning. It was quite a morning. Because Jesus lives, you and I could be saved by the grace of God. Because he lives, we can have our sins washed away forever. Because he lives, we can go to heaven when we leave this world. Because he lives, the grave has no power over those who believe. Because he lives, eternal life is our present possession. Because he lives, one day we too will live with him in that heavenly city. Because he lives, I'll never have to take a step in this world all by myself. Don't you just love that? Sometimes you may feel like you're frustrated and so forth, but you know what? You're never alone, my friend. Christian friend, you're never alone. No matter what dark valley you're going through, you're never alone. No matter what trial you're going through, you are never alone. Why? Because he lives. Because he lives, there is hope, there is help, and there is a home awaiting for us in eternity. Because he lives, I am alive. Because he lives, my sins have been removed as far as the east is from the west. Because he lives, my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Because he lives, God is my Father. Amen. Because he lives, sin has no more dominion over me. Because he lives, I'm saved, and I'm saved forever. When I got saved, I was put in the palm of his hand. Nobody. The devil thought he won. He'd like to try to pluck me out, but nobody could pluck me out of my Father's hand. Because he lives, I have eternal life. Boy, that list could go on forever. But in closing, I ask you, do you know Christ? Are you here today? We got some of our teenagers that ride our buses. We got many different folks here today. Doesn't matter who I'm talking to right now, but I ask you to examine your heart for a moment. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? If you were to die today, do you know 100% sure that you'd go to heaven? Boy, if you don't, boy, this Resurrection Sunday, what a day to get saved. Boy, this would be a really good day to be saved. Boy, it'd be sad to go ahead and walk out of church like this that preaches the truth Sunday after Sunday and Wednesday after Wednesday and leave lost on your way to hell. If you're here today, I urge you, if you're not saved, boy, won't you come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? I ask you to come to the realization that he's alive and he's all you need. He's the only one you need. Do you understand what will happen if you die without him? Yeah, if you die without him, hell again is your eternal destiny. Do you realize he is your only hope for heaven? Religion will go ahead and tell you all the list of things I told you about earlier. You take the Lord's Supper, that'll get you to heaven. That's a lie. Go ahead and get dunked or sprinkled or poured on or whatever. That'll get you to heaven. No, that's a lie. You go ahead and you do a good deed or you give in the offering plate and so forth. That is a lie from a pit of hell. Jesus is the only way. The only way you're going to get to where God is, where Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, that's where they are this morning, is only through trusting Jesus Christ and putting your faith only in him and not religion. One of these days, he's coming back. One of these days, God's going to say, go get our children. One of these days, a trumpet's going to sound. And I ask you, are you ready? Are you ready? If you're here today, you don't know Jesus as Savior. Maybe you've sat in a service like this. Maybe you're here every single week, but you know in your heart. You know. Only you and God knows. I don't know. But you know in your heart whether you're really saved or not. Well, you ought to go ahead and settle that today. Maybe here today, you say, Christian, I'm talking to a Christian now. Maybe there's some unconfessed sin in your life. Maybe you don't have that live and vibrant excitement that the Christian life can bring. Yes, we all have our downs and different things, but you know what? It's one thing to be down and out without allowing the presence of the Lord to help you through it. And it's another thing to be down and out and, well, you know the presence of God is with you. I'll have to admit, last few days, man, I've been down and out as far as just not feeling. You have been there, you just don't feel good. You know, you just don't feel good. Let me just stop and say this. I knew God was with me. Never one time did I feel like I was just laying there sicker than a dog, thinking I'm all by myself. No, the presence of God was with me. You know what? And to my knowledge, I have nothing in between my soul and the Savior. But you know what? There might be some Christians here today, you know, that presence just isn't there. You're saved. You know, you can go to that time you've been saved, but maybe there's some sin in your life. Some sin that is hindering the blessings of God. And you lost that vibrancy. You've lost that excitement. You've lost that joy. Someone can sometimes ask, why is it so-and-so more? They can go through this and they can go through that and so forth, but they keep that spring and that sit there stuff. They keep that joy, that excitement. You know why? Because they're walking very close to the one who gives them that joy, Jesus Christ. You know, let me ask you a question, Christian. Where are you spiritually? Where are you at today? You know, this might be a time that you need to come forward, get on your face before Almighty God and altar, and take care of some business. So you can have that joy and that vibrancy and that excitement back again. Maybe you're here today, you don't know Jesus as Savior. Maybe you're here today, you have some sin in your life. Maybe you're here today, you say, preacher, I'm here because I know I'm supposed to be here. I'm in my place every week. I serve. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm excited. I'm here because I am just excited because Jesus rose from the dead. Maybe I'll just come forward and just say, thank you, Jesus, for being alive. One of our men this morning came in. Basically, the first words he said was, preacher, he is alive. Amen. That's why we take a Sunday, set it aside. That is set aside to remember the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Every Sunday ought to be Resurrection Sunday, though, however. We ought to think on it every day. Got to think about his resurrection every day. You know, I said last week, I don't know how you can go ahead and think of the story of the cross. See our Savior dying, beaten, humiliated, torn to shreds, bloodied, and not have it move your heart. I tell you, there's something wrong with that. If that doesn't move you, well, there's something wrong right here. Well, you know what? Let me just ask you a question. I don't know where you are today, but if you need to deal with, take care of business with God one way or the other, if you need to be saved this morning, today is a day of salvation. Come forward, shake my hand, and say, preacher, I want to be saved. We will gladly have someone show you from the Word of God how you can be saved. If you're here today, you've got some sin in your life, take care of it. If you've got other areas in your life that maybe something else that the Holy Spirit is zooming in on, boy, why don't you just take care of that this morning? Our Heavenly Father, God, we love you. It's certainly been a good